are listening to the Nasty Backpack Podcast. What up, everybody? Y'all listening to the Nasty Backpack Podcast. It's your boy, Nasty Backpack. Thank y'all for tuning in. Let's get to it. So, this podcast is going to be something that I've kind of talked about before. But being that I've recently been doing community events all over the city, all over town, all over our community. And one thing I'm realizing, a lot of people are not familiar with Matt Services. And being that I work for a Matt Service clinic that specializes in methadone, Suboxone, and Vivitrol, I just want to kind of get people familiar with methadone and what it can do for them. And the reason I would suggest methadone over the other two is because, one, most insurances will cover it. And for somebody that's brand new to treatment, it's going to be a lot better for them to start on methadone than trying to start on Suboxone. And Vivitrol at the moment is not really covered by every insurance. It's super expensive to come out of pocket, if you have to come out of pocket. But, you know, Suboxone is buprenorphine and naloxone, which naloxone, if you guys don't know, is Narcan. And so if you're somebody that's struggling and you're still, you know, when you come into treatment, you're still going to be using. And so, you know, Suboxone is kind of setting them up for failure because it has that naloxone on the, in there, which is going to send them into withdrawal if they start using. And so you got to kind of break those habits before you can just make this, before you can just jump on to Suboxone. And so, which is when you're new to treatment, is pretty tough. And so that's why I would recommend methadone in the beginning, is because you can, you know, you can get stable a lot quicker. And if you are going to use, at least, you know, you're not going to go into withdrawal and get yourself sick and then just say, forget this, I'm not doing this ever again. And so that's why I would recommend methadone. Now, what does this look like for somebody that's new to treatment? You know, a lot of people, honestly, when I'm in the community and I'm doing street outreach, a lot of people in the streets are not really educated on methadone. So if you're somebody that's struggling right now and you're wanting to start some kind of treatment, this might be a good podcast episode for you. So, what does it look like to start treatment with methadone in a Matt Service clinic? Simple. You go, you do your intake, you get the intake done, and you get dosed. They usually start you on a low dose, maybe 20, 30, and then the more you go, they start taking you up, and then you got to see the medical provider, and they keep going up. Why would I suggest methadone for somebody? One, you're getting it prescribed through a doctor. So you're not getting it off the streets. You're not, you're knowing exactly what it is, which it is a synthetic opiate. You're getting it dosed at a window from a nurse. And so you're getting it prescribed and you're getting it dispersed to you through a medical team. On top of that, you're also going to get counseling. And so that's a big benefit by starting treatment in Matt Services, is that you're going to get counseling. You'll have access to a case manager. You'll have access to peer support. And so you're going to get a lot in your treatment. You're not going to be restrained to have to stay there and, you know, deal with all that pressure of having to go into treatment and staying somewhere. I feel like that's where a lot of people fail at. You know, they think because they're on the streets, they think detox is really the only option. And so what a lot of people do on the streets is they go and detox over and over and over again. And because those aftercare services are not provided to them, or they don't get them, they end up failing, or because they have no support from any kind of medication that's going to keep them from withdrawals and cravings, they end up leaving the treatment facility rather quickly. And so, you know, what I try to suggest to people that are coming in that are brand new to treatment, within the first 30 days, I try to educate them on the importance of showing up every day, because that's half the battle. You show up, you're going to get your dose. You show up, you're going to get your dose. When you don't show up, that's when not only are you not going to get your dose, you're going to have to use, because you're probably going to be on a pretty low dose anyways. And so it's not going to carry you over, and then you're going to probably end up going and using anyways. And then what ends up happening when you do go back, your dose is going to probably get dropped down a little bit just because of you missing. And it's just part of the protocol in most states to lower your dose once you start missing. And it's just because they don't know, because we don't, in these clinics, we don't, when you show back up, we don't know if you're high, what you're high on, what you're using. You know, a lot of times they don't tell us the truth on what they're using. And so, you know, just as protocol, your dose has to drop based off the amount of days that you miss for most states. And so, you know, when I have a new client coming in, I try to educate them on, listen, man, the most important thing, or ma'am, is showing up every single day. Show up every single day. Your body starts getting used to it, and then your dose will keep going up until you're stable. And then, you know, when if you need to increase on your dose, then we get you in with the doctor. You're getting counseling. You're getting case manager. And there's a lot of resources that goes in with that that is going to benefit you for any kind of services you need. And so that's what, and you know, after you dose, you leave. And so you're not stuck in a treatment center. You're not stuck, you know, you don't have that pressure of, I can't get back to the streets, or I can't get back to my house, or back to wherever I've got to go. You know, sometimes kids are working. Sometimes people will have jobs. Sometimes, you know, depends on what your situation is. You know, there's a benefit for everybody that's struggling. And it reduces the chance of you overdosing. It, you know, in some of these facilities, they have a lot of other services like, Hep C treatment and just IOP classes and a lot of different things that are going to benefit you, a lot of different tools that are going to benefit you to help you get out of the addiction and into recovery. And so, that's just my gift on it. I feel everybody that's struggling with fentanyl should get on methadone. It should be like your first step of treatment, especially if you're really, really struggling and you're homeless. You should definitely get on methadone, because one, if you don't have insurance, well, most of these clinics will help you get insurance. So that's a benefit in itself. And if you don't have the money for your fix, that at least you'll have the chance to go and take the methadone to get you through, so you're not going into withdrawal and you're not, you know, you're not having the cravings. And so the way you overcome your addiction with the methadone is you got to get your dose to a stable dose so that you're not getting withdrawals and cravings, because that's what the methadone does. It blocks you from getting high off the opiates. So it's a blocker on top of that. It allows your brain to heal. Once you get your dose stable, you're not going to have any more withdrawals or cravings when you stop using fentanyl or heroin or whatever opiate you're using. And it allows you to get your life back. You get back, you feel normal. You feel normal without having to go buy street drugs. And so if you guys don't know, and this is for a lot of parents too, to kind of educate parents on MAT services, because a lot of parents that are not educated on what methadone does, they have a very bad stigma due to the fact that their loved ones might still be using well on methadone. And so a lot of people will blame methadone for why they're not in off and a lot why they're, but they're still struggling. And so because they're still struggling and still using, they're not in off because that's what the street drugs do to you is make you nod off. That's what fentanyl does to you when you get too high on it. And so a lot of parents think because the person that's using the street drugs are nodding off, they blame it on the methadone. And so the parents think it's the methadone that's making them nod off. In reality, it's whatever it's the fentanyl they're using, or the heroin, or whatever they're using. And so, but it's very important to get that dose to the stable dose. And so a lot of parents will be like, your dose is way, way too high. The only person that would know it's too high is the person that is taking the methadone. And so if they're not using anymore and they're nodding off, then yeah, the dose might be too high if they're on a high dose. Everybody's different. Everybody's tolerance is different. And so, you know, you might have a girl who's 100 pounds on 200 milligrams of methadone. It's totally normal if that's what it takes for her to be stable. And you might have somebody that's 250 pounds on 40 milligrams of methadone. That's also normal. It depends on each person. And so, you know, this episode is just to pretty much educate folks on methadone. Suboxone, like I said, it's a little bit different. And I wouldn't recommend it to somebody who is coming into the treatment for the first time and hasn't, you know, they'll hear from a friend that their friend's on Suboxone and got clean on Suboxone. I know a lot of people that got clean on Suboxone. I know a lot of people that are clean right now on Suboxone. And I know a lot of people that have weaned themselves off of Suboxone. When you use Suboxone, you cannot use at all. So if you're a person that hasn't been able to overcome the triggers, Suboxone is not going to be a good choice for you, because you're going to put yourself into withdrawal as soon as you use that pill, or as soon as you shoot up, because of the naloxone that's in there. And so that's why a lot of doctors will really start people off on methadone over Suboxone. Now, a lot of people want to get on Subutex because Subutex is buprenorphine, but it doesn't have the naloxone in it. So it's a lot of doctors don't want to prescribe it because a lot of people end up abusing the buprenorphine. And so doctors just don't prescribe it as much because it's just not a good medication to use if somebody's really struggling, because they're probably going to abuse it before they get themselves sober off of it. And so a lot of prescribers won't prescribe it off the bat, and they'll recommend methadone over the Suboxone. Now, why would somebody want to get on Suboxone rather than methadone? People like to choose Suboxone because most insurances will give a script for it. So you'll be able to go to your pharmacy and pick it up. And so you don't have to go into a clinic every single day. Is one of the main reasons why people choose it. And sometimes it does work better on just depends on how good your willpower is, how strong your willpower is. Sometimes it makes sense, but if you're new to treatment, and you're probably not gonna overcome your addiction in your first couple months. And so, I mean, I've seen people do it, but it's very, very rare. And they did it on methadone. So it's all about the mindset. And you know, you got to get your triggers in set. If you don't have your triggers, if you can't control your triggers, then it's going to be really, really hard to get clean right away. And so, you know, it's a lot of parents don't know the difference between withdrawals and triggers. Triggers are going to be things like people, places, and things that cause people to use. It's going to be the reasoning. It's going to be peer pressure. It's going to be friends. It's going to be locations. It's going to be accessibility to these drugs. And so, you know, if you have a roommate who's selling fentanyl, that's going to be a trigger that you're going to need to control before you're able to really get clean. And so because the accessibility is right there in the same house that you're in, you know, it's going to be really hard to get clean off of, you know, just starting treatment right away. So you still have to, it doesn't matter what medication you're on, you have to deal with those triggers and you have to get those triggers fixed, because what people do on Suboxone is they just stop taking it. If they're going to use, they're not going to take the Suboxone because they're not going to put themselves in withdrawal. And so, you know, it's just really, yeah, it's, when it comes to recovery, you gotta attack every aspect of your life that's gonna cause you to use. And so, you know, what causes, with somebody that's not on mat service though, what causes them to use is not the triggers, is definitely the withdrawals. And if you ever seen a person sick in on withdrawals, going through withdrawal, and they'll tell you this straight up, they feel like they're dying. They got diarrhea, they got the sniffles, they're throwing up, their stomach is knotting up, they're in pain, they're weak, they're fragile, they're just not themselves. And so that's what keeps people that start on fentanyl and get addicted to fentanyl, that's what keeps them to continue to use and continue to use and continue to use. And that's why it's important to get on some kind of mat service so that you can overcome those withdrawals. Like I said, to me, I would always recommend methadone over Suboxone to somebody that's brand new. Now, if you're going to treatment and you're in a treatment facility and there, you don't have no accessibility to any kind of fentanyl or drugs, then Suboxone could be a good choice for you if that's your situation. But that's not always the case. And a lot of these facilities will start people on Suboxone while they're in their facilities, because it's just, like I said, it's easier. It's just, you know, it's easier to get off of, and it's, like I said, a prescriber writes a script and they don't have to take the person to a clinic every single day, where methadone, you have to dispense that out of a methadone clinic. And so, that's why some of these facilities will start people on Suboxone instead of methadone. But like I said, it's a good choice when you're in a facility, because you don't have drugs pumping in through there. You know, the person doesn't have access to the drugs. So, it makes sense in that case. But when you're living at home or you're living on the streets, methadone is going to be the better option for you. Even though you have to go to the clinic every single day, it's gonna make you feel stable on the days that you don't use. And so it's all about, like I said, at the end of the day, it's all about showing up every day and dosing every day and getting your dose to the correct milligrams that are going to keep you stable. Everybody's different, so you guys got to kind of, I tell my clients, don't worry about the number, just worry about keep increasing until you feel stable. Once you feel stable, then that's the dose you need to be on. You stay stable, you start putting your life back together, you start coping with your triggers, you start figuring out how to cope with life and your family, you can start putting things back together. Once you have a good, strong support system and you're good in your sobriety, then you start tapering down on the methadone. But until you're at that point, stay stable, stay showing up every day, and keep increasing your dose until you're on a stable dose. At that point, then you start, once you're stable and you got everything, you know, situated, and that process can take some time. You know, for methadone, the programs for methadone are usually around 2 to 7 years. Because in that 2 to 7 years, that's the amount of time that it usually takes the receptors in your brain to turn back on and start producing dopamine for itself again. And so when you're using opiates, that it's going to mask the receptors when you're using fentanyl, and it's going to shut down those receptors the drugs are going to produce the dopamine for you. And so when the drugs are producing the dopamine, your brain stops producing the dopamine. And so when you stop using the drugs, those receptors take a while to turn back on. So that's why depression happens. That's why, people are just sad and just not, it takes a while. It takes a while for those receptors to turn back on. And so 2 to 7 years is about the time that they turn back on. And then that's the time that you would start taper once you're stable in your life and you got everything, you got a good, strong support system behind you and you're doing good in your recovery and you got a good amount of sober time, then you start that taper process. But that's all I have for you today. I just want to really tune in to methadone because I've been doing a lot of these events. And like I said, a lot of people on these streets are not familiar with what methadone can do for them. And so I want to make sure that this podcast, this episode gets out there. If you know somebody struggling, send them to this podcast. Send them this episode. Let them hear it for themselves. And so that they can make a better decision. I've been in this game with substance abuse for 4 years now. And I continue to educate myself. I continue to go into the communities and educate others on substance abuse and on methadone and on Suboxone, on mat services and what it can do for them. And so, you're hearing it from somebody that truly, truly, truly cares. And so, try it for yourself. Other than that, that's all I got for y'all today. Thank y'all for tuning in. I love you all. If you have any questions or you have somebody struggling, reach out to me and I'll go on more in depth. We can do a phone call or some kind of conference to face to face or however we got to do it. Reach out to me. Y'all can find me at, check out my YouTube channel as well, but you can email me at nastybackpackpodcast@gmail.com. Go check out the YouTube channel, Nasty Backpack. Let's fight this fight together, you guys. I'm with you and I'm in your corner. It's your boy, Nasty Backpack. We out.